Listen intently. For the day is coming when this world is going to be in more turmoil. The day is coming when this world is going to be in more turmoil. And I see, and I say to you, you are seeing the signs today. You are only seeing the birth pangs of turmoil in the world, but I tell you today, I tell you today, my life and my word has something to say to the world.
Amen.
My life and my word has something to say to the world. For as it says in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and nothing was made that was made was not made by Him. In Him was life.
Hallelujah.
And that life was the light of man.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, my church, today, it is the day to rise up and let that light shine forth like never before. I'm calling forth my people today to shine that light forth like never before. There are very few in the world right now that have the ability to shine the light. But I tell you today, there are those people that will shine that light. And there are those churches and those places where I'm going to be able to put a beacon on a hill to shine forth that light. There are many even in the church that are living in dark times. They think the natural things of this world are bringing them success. I'm telling you right now, that success is nothing but a facade. It is nothing but a mere image of what I want to do in their lives.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you right now, the life that I had in the beginning is the same life that you breathe and live by today. The word that I spoke forth in the beginning that brought forth this world and brought forth the universe is the same word that you live by and breathe by today.
Hallelujah.
My children, I tell you today, this is a day not of wonderment. This is not a day where you sit back and wonder what's going to happen. This is a day where you rise up and you become victorious in the Word of God, in the presence of God, in the life of God that I've given you. Today is the day of victory and not the day of defeat. Today is the day of life and not the day of death. For the world is going to cry out for an answer, and there are going to be those that will bring the answer. You need to bring the answer. Be an answer. Be a person of life and liberty and freedom to a person that is not living in that freedom or life. Be a person that brings forth my fruit in a world that does not see it. Or does not understand it.
Hallelujah.
Be a person that brings forth my love to a person that doesn't see it nor does he understand it. Be a person of joy, peace, a person of peace. Be a person of life and be a person of victory.
Hallelujah.
Today is the day for my church to rise up. Because as the world grows with birth pains, I'm telling you right now, you should listen to my word.
Hallelujah.
For my words will bring life, and my words will bring liberty, and my words will bring freedom unto a dying world.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank
Glory.
You, Jesus.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I guess it's this August we're going to be doing a gig down there in, I guess that'd be the right word, down there at Point Defiance Park, down there in Owens Beach. That is a real good location because I know the crowd that gathers there. I pray in the park every once in a while, and so I get familiar with the crowd that goes down there. I think that's an excellent location to reach a lot of the lost. Praise the Lord. Well, how many brought your Bibles? You guys bring your Bibles? You know, Joel Osteen says something that's really good when he starts off a message. So let's kind of do that. Let's lift our Bibles up. Let's do that just like he does at his church, okay? And let's say this together. This is my Bible. It says something to me. What it says to me belongs to me. It's mine. And I believe in this word. Thank you, God, for my word. Amen. Amen. I didn't say it just the way he does, but, you know, we got to have our own interpretation to it. Amen. Hallelujah. the Lord laid this message on my heart. This wasn't the direction I planned on going, but whenever he does it, then he always gives me confirmation. Well, he gave me confirmation through John Shearer's prophecy this morning, and I felt the heart of it, and I'm excited to share the word with you. Hallelujah. On Wednesday nights, we have been teaching on how the mind processes things, how the mind thinks, accumulates things. We've been in Romans 12, 13, 14, and 15, and with every stroke of the brush, we had learned that there's nothing that is giving us instructions of how to walk before God with a renewed mind. It's all about the accountability that we have to God and how we treat mankind. That is what a renewed mind looks like. It takes into consideration other people than ourselves. And the Bible is very clear in those chapters of mind renewing that you will be held accountable before God how you treat mankind, saved and unsaved alike. And the renewed mind, we brought out how the mind of God at work within us is a mind that gives the consideration of others before itself. And the mind of the flesh always has self first. Then, if possible, the consideration of others. And so with that understanding, gives you a clear understanding how the Word of God will speak to you to deliver your soul from darkness. Now, as a pastor, I'm always aware of the position that a child of God is placed in. According to the prophecy today, it couldn't have been said better. We have been placed in a wonderful position in the Lord. Amen. We are what the Bible terms king priests. We're a royal priesthood. And there couldn't be a higher honor to stand than into the place of being a priest unto the Lord. And every one of us, according to Peter there, the book of Peter, I can't remember if it was the first or second book, it talks about us being a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people unto the Lord. If you really understand the breakdown of those words, that is a tremendous place to be when you get born again and come into the kingdom of God. You're in a beautiful place before the Lord. It's wonderful. And you're such an honored being in the kingdom of God. But you know, as a pastor, the thing that you hate is to conduct funerals of believers who go on home to be with the Lord as beggars. Paul said that we should desire an abundant entrance. We should desire an abundant entrance. Are you guys hearing what I'm saying? Now, I'm going to speak from my heart a little bit here because as being your pastor, I don't ever want to conduct a funeral over a royal priest wondering or not whether they're going to make it. Nothing grieves your heart more to know that you're burying a king priest and before they die, we have to give confirmation to whether they were saved or not. That grieves my heart. Because to me, they're a fallen comrade. But I tell you what, I don't like my comrade falling because they didn't take the position that they were called into in that position of being a royal priest. How many have fallen what I'm saying? Now, I have never been raised with condemnation preaching in churches in my lifetime. John Cook was. He shared with me the spirit that takes place in churches that preach condemnation. And I said, well, John, I've never had the opportunity. And he says, well, I was also an advocate of that judgmental preaching. And some of you might have been in those type of churches. My background before, after conversion, my background was sin. So I wasn't indoctrinated into a religious spirit. Praise the Lord. What is a religious spirit? A religious spirit is a man who knows the standard of God, knows what God expects, but has no conviction of the conscience of men. And so they'll judge an unbeliever or judge sin without any consideration of where the conscience of man is standing. And that's what we call a form of religious spirit. Not all men have the knowledge of God. Not all men have the right conscience of God. But we must be tender and careful that not only as we're accountable to the mind of God, we have to be accountable to the understanding of where man's conscience is placed. How many know what I'm talking about? And so sometimes we have to build a relationship with those who are not too likable so they can win them for Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? And this morning, what I want to do is I want to share with you something that happened to me when I went to Sportco. Sportco is a hunting supply place and sports and all that, you know, then Fife. It's one of my places that I have to go and control myself. And as I was thinking about the freedom that we have in America, I'm thinking very, very clearly that our freedom might be our downfall. Our freedom to worship might be our downfall as a church. I hate to say that. But to me, when you hear stories, nightmares, I call them nightmares, they're stories that a pastor will grab a hold of and remember. One story, I forgot who it was in our body, was telling me, it was a lady, a girl, that they had come out of the background of sin. She had been involved in places that sinners dwell. And she said the first church she attended, she went into shock because the deacons were advocate participants of the place she was freed from. And so she had a hard time with that. One brother in the body was telling me that he was involved with the county city building and didn't want nothing to do with by his word for a while because a lot of people that were from our church were incarcerated there. And that is a bad testimony. That is a bad witness. Usually some people that are in the Lord really get dedicated to God whenever they're incarcerated, and when they're let out, all hell breaks loose again. But boy, when they get back in, they're really dedicated to God. It shows me they have no control over their being. Now, I thank God that the Bible is very clear that God has given us authority over a defeated foe called Satan. But if you haven't been here, most of you haven't been because we have larger numbers than Sunday morning. We do Wednesday. But most of you have not been here to understand that we've been covering the issue of flesh and now how it is a greater enemy than the devil himself, because the flesh has not been clearly defined as a defeated foe. But the Bible warns us that we need to be careful of our physical being and that carnal mind, because it has the ability to speak against the knowledge of God. Unless we get control of our flesh and our carnal mind, it will be a worse enemy than the devil himself. And the devil uses your carnal mind and your flesh to bring you to a place of deception. It is the medium by which he deceives you with. And so again, as I was at Sportco, I had consciously looked at the walls, but I was looking at them differently this time, and I felt the presence of God. And yes, Sue, the presence of God can be on me in Sportco. And as I was looking at all these trophies on the wall, and I was amazed at that the trophies look good. I meant, you know, the trophies of them bull elks. There was one trophy of a bull elk over by the men's bathroom, and I felt it was such had such an awesome rack. That should have been out in front of the gun counter, not by the men's bathroom. But I saw all these trophies, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just amazed by them, and all these dead animals hanging around on a wall, and how beautiful they are and everything. And you know what came up out of my inner being? This just kind of came right up out of my inner being. You ought to see Satan's trophy wall. And I thought about that and I said, what? He says, yeah, the greater, the higher a minister goes in the kingdom of God, if Satan takes him out, he's considered a prize trophy on the adversary's wall. You know what? I don't like that. Do you? I'm learning real quick lately. The closer I get with God, the less options I have physically. There's just something that indicts your flesh that you just can't get away from it. Where I was freer, it seems like I'm more conscious now. Because I'm drawing closer to my Lord. And I was thinking last night, you know, I'm kind of disappointed I shouldn't be further than I am with my Lord. You know what I mean? Well, what had happened is my brother-in-law came over, Joe. And he's helping me with the foundation of my house. This is my son-in-law. What did I say? Brother-in-law. No, my son-in-law, not my brother-in-law. My son-in-law. So he's helped me build a... You have to go through the first step. You have to put footings in. That's what they call footings. And so I'm at church, and I have to leave and get home because Joe's working on my footings, and Sue calls me and says, get here, quick. I want to make sure that you're watching over everything. I said, okay, I'll get there. And so I got there, and we put up all the footings, and we had the cement poured. We got approved and had the cement poured. And so yesterday we went and removed the forms and everything, and once you pour a cement footing, it's there. We have all these little rods that's got to stick out because you have to tie rebar to all these rods. So footing is very important that you have it like it should be. Well, so we start getting our walls up, marking them on the cement. And I said, we'll mark our walls first. But I noticed that we're 3.5 inches out of square. You know, that's a lot out of square. Especially with the footing and the foundation. I have a purpose why I'm going where I'm going. So I got to thinking, and we spent over an hour trying to figure out how we could compensate for being 3.5 inches off. And I don't know how we got 3.5 inches off. And finally I looked at the foundation. I got down, and as I'm measuring from corner to corner, I noticed, wait a minute. Now, on my existing foundation, they had about so much overlap sticking out from the wall, but the other end was flush. And so I took the tape and I measured 3.5 inches. So what had happened is that we lagged the rebar into one side of my foundation that was sticking out 3.5 inches, where the other side was only out flush with the wall. It was how they poured their cement. Well, if I'd have been the one, well, no, that's throwing the blame off on him, which it is his fault, but mine too, because I was there. Okay? So I found out how we were 3.5 inches off. But you know something? Well, we put up our, Joe was getting frustrated. He said, let's just put up the walls and we'll figure it out from there. So when we got the walls up, we were able to square it up okay. Can you imagine being 3.5 inches up, all the way up to the finishing of that facility? John being a carpenter, he knows what that's like. And I got to thinking, oh my gosh, that we're going to have a Morphinite add-on. 3.5 inches off. I was so mad at him. I was so hot. And so I'm sitting down in the evening, and I ate supper, and I'm fuming. Matter of fact, Sue called me one time, and I said, "Don't talk to me." And she says, "Well, what's wrong?" And I said, "I don't want to even talk about it right now. Talk to me later." So I'm mad. I'm sitting down. And on TV, there was the end of this movie, and the music was just real. A soft catcher for your heart. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, this love just flowed over me. And I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, "Oh, I love everybody. I just love everybody." You know, you're just into this song, you know, and "Oh, yeah, yeah." And all of a sudden, this voice comes up, and "Joe." "Yeah, Joe, too, even though he's 3.5 inches off." So I said that to say this: God works in our heart to always bring us the right concept of everything. But you know how life can be off, but you can stay on. You know what I mean? In your attitude and the way you think about people and everything. And I let it go. I just let it go. I said, "God, we'll work it out. We'll work it out." I said, "I'll get John Cook over there to help frame us up 3.5 inches off. He'll make it work." So God works on our heart. He works on our conscience to be right when we get off. How many of you follow? When people get off in life, get off spectrum with us, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Love is what really counts. That's why I understand the renewed mind now requires that you be careful of another man's conscience before God, because you'll have to answer to him. You know, and I thought that was very strange when I went through the whole few chapters about the renewing of the mind. Not once did they have anything to say about giving us instructions on how to walk before God. The only thing that you find in the mind renewing is that you're going to be accountable to God how you walk with somebody else. Isn't that interesting? So the mind of God always takes in consideration the neighbor. It always falls true in love. Well, this morning, I do believe that we as believers are not to go home as beggars, because we are going to live eternally. And the Bible says that the life of this flesh is but a fleeting moment. It is almost like, well, one translator in the Psalm says that when he saw the prosperity and the wealth of the wicked, and even in their death there's an honor or glory to it. But he said, "I nigh almost stepped away from God until I went to the house of God. Then I learned that their end, what it would come to." And he made this statement that was very interesting. He said that this natural time, this natural life, is but a fleeting moment. It is like a dream that comes and is gone. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 8, it says that the suffering that we deny our natural man is not even worthy to be compared to the glory that we shall receive from the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, getting back to our responsibility as believers before mankind, whether you're on the job, or whether you're the boss, or whether you're whatever you do in society, you always have to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care who you come in contact with. And as a pastor, it grieves my heart to know that the enemy has tremendous trophies in his time concerning ministers of the gospel, and how he's used their flesh to bring a reproach to the ministry that they represent. It just grieves your heart, because as a pastor, you don't want to see anyone lose that position as being a king priest. Amen. So this morning, I want to tell you that in Romans 8:1, that says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But I want to warn you this morning, very strongly this morning, that, and I want to be very clear about it. Listen to me. I don't mean to put condemnation on you, but I want you, I hope that I succeed in putting a fear of God in your heart. And I'm talking about the fear of God that's healthy for you, not the wrong kind of fear. All of us are going to have to give an account to the works that were done in the flesh. Not according to sin, but according to works done in the flesh. Are you following me? And if sin is all we have, that's even the worst place to be. Now, the Bible is very clear we are to stay out of a flesh walk. Very clear on it. So I want you to open up to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to go there first of all. 1 Peter chapter 2. In America, sad to say, it grieves my heart that we have such freedom that we can abuse the kingdom of God in our life. It just grieves my heart. And it grieves my heart that we have such options to think with. But really we don't when it comes to the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, let's go to verse 1. Wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envyings and all evil speaking. Actually, all evil distractions. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And we know our spiritual sacrifice is our flesh. It has to be a living sacrifice. It has to be put behind God at every cost. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient. He's not talking about unbelievers here. He's talking about believers who are disobedient. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made, the head of the corner. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in times past you were not a people, but now are a people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from lustful desires which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Boy, one thing that really grieves me is to run across society as a pastor and sit there and have a communication with somebody that recognizes who I am. And in the conversation, mention one of my church members and they go into shock because I call them a Christian and they are members of my church. They say, they are a member of your church? Are you kidding me? So evidently their testimony and their reproach was horrible before these people. And that grieves a pastor at heart. Because you want your people out there being the example they're supposed to be with all of mankind. Everything will always come back to you. No matter what you do, good or evil, it'll always come back and roost in your lap. You know, I thought of the time I went to the bank and put a demand on that new hired teller. And that lady reached across and said, I will cash Pastor Jan's check. That little young guy that was a tiller, he knew I was a pastor and the way I treated him. I said, look, I've been banking with this bank for years. What do you mean you got to hold this check for 3 days? He was going by policy. And I was teaching the fruit of the Spirit at our church at the time. And I put a demand on him. I said, you cash that check now. I said, I got enough in my savings account to cover that thing anyway. And he's sitting there real frustrated. And that's when that one lady reached across to him, his face, and, and says, I will take care of Pastor Jan's check. Can you imagine that will be in that man's mind forever? I prayed and I said, God, erase it from my ignorance, stupidity. Forgive me for the way I treated that man. Are you following me? Hey, you know, I'm no different than you are. I can get out in the streets and get 3.5 inches off myself. Are you following what I'm saying? But I have a responsibility before every person. I have a responsibility before you. My life is not my own. My life is for your life. That is why I'm called, and that's why I have to serve you. I have a right to drink wine after a dinner table. I have a right to do that, but I will not do it. Why? Because of you. Whether you believe it's all right or not, it's irrelevant to me. I will abstain from it for your sake. There are things that we have to deny. And the closer I'm getting with God, the more I'm beginning to see there are things that I would permit that God is not allowing me to permit anymore. Because you get closer to God, you will be holy as He is holy. Amen. Are you following me? Because that is a desire that God wants in our heart. In America, the sad thing about it is this is a tremendous mission field. Because there's something happening to Americans that Americans need to get a hold of. And that is, how much of a measure are they hearing with the Word of God? Now, give me those two cups. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. I gave this illustration once, and I'll give it again. As a warning to you that whenever you are not listening to the Word of God, you're going to miss something. Because the Holy Spirit, even this morning, the Holy Spirit put this message in my heart for every one of you to hear. Because there's an importance to the kingdom of God. There is an importance to the kingdom of God. And you know what the churches are trying to do today? Eliminate as many services as possible. I tell Pastor I have 3 services a week, they go into shock. And they say, that's old-fashioned. You know what? 3 hours out of your week to sit at the foot of the Holy Spirit, or are you sitting at Pastor Jan? Or are you sitting at the holy feet of the Holy Spirit? This morning, you know what? You're not sitting at the feet of Pastor Jan. You're sitting at the feet of the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? I can be bold to say that because I'm walking before my Lord properly. Yeah. Now, Dean Baxton said something to me that shocked me. He said, when I was in heaven, I was shocked at who was not there. Well, maybe it might have been one of them deacons serving the church. And you've got a member of the church delivered from the world, saying that was one of my great customers. What is that all about? Do we have so much freedom of worship? We can carry the way we think regardless of somebody else? We don't have that freedom, people. The only freedom of thought we have is what the Word of God dictates to it. When you got saved, did your flesh really go on that cross? Did Jesus really represent you in dying on that cross? Did you really mean it when you got water baptized? Or is the old man drug up out of the tomb and you still listen to him and walk with him? There's some of these things we got to think about. And I started crying out to the Lord and I said, Lord, help me to understand where America is missing it because of such freedom to worship. And He brought me right back to the Word of God. You know, when God speaks to you through the Word, you're in fellowship with Him. If circumstances speak to you louder than the Word of God, you're out of fellowship. Look at this. This is what God took me to, Mark 4. And He amplified some verses. So if you're at Mark chapter 4, let's go to verse 24. 4:24. And He said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. It's wonderful that churches are looking for a way to to get out of church services. They would like one service every Sunday with large numbers and big bucks. And then hold you accountable the rest of the week for your Sunday morning attendance. To me, pastors aren't looking for your transformation. They're looking for you as a number, a figure in a number, and get some money out of you. I told the Lord, I will never go there. I will never go for numbers, and evidently that's not the case. And I will never go to please man. If you get upset at what I preach, my job is doing good. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, I'm going to read this to you out of the Greek. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. With measure. With measure. What measure you measure with, it will be added to you. So whatever measure you are measuring it with, it will be added to you. That measure. Well, you know what? This word for measure, this is a very interesting word in the Greek. This word for measure literally means the capacity or the amount which can be contained. The magnitude of the capacity of the measure. Do you know what? I can hear and I can hear and I can still hear. You know, I go, you know, practice of mine during hours at the church. I'll go through my library and I'll get all these old books of Kenneth Hagin and I'll start rereading a lot of them. And I always pick something up again. I always enlarge my capacity for my understanding. Now, when I saw this word for measure in the Greek, I'm going to give you an illustration I gave at one time. Talks about with the measure that you're measuring, the hearing with. The hearing. Are you following me? That's the measure that's going to be given back to you. So, this is what the meaning is right here. You've got two measures here. How many of you following me? And what I couldn't get with the understanding of the capacity was, what is that got to do with the hearing? And it finally dawned on me, do you know what? This is talking about the measure that you're hearing with, right? Now, which measure is greater?
Bigger.
Bigger, right? This is not a trick question, by the way. Isn't this measure bigger?
Yes.
Amen? Isn't this measure smaller?
Yes.
Guess what? The measure that you listen to the Word of God with, that's what's going to come back on you.
Right.
You know what? This is the part that got me kind of confused. It says that the measure will determine about whether what you can keep or what you lose.
Yeah.
And I said, now how does that equate with the measure, the capacity? Here's the difference. The measure that you find from here is a measure that if you're using this measure with, then you don't have this measure. And because you miss this measure, because you're only using this measure, this is a measure that Satan will use to take you out with. How many of you are following me? When I saw that, I went, oh my gosh. So if a man is only listening with this measure, instead of this measure, this is the part that he misses. And this is the part where Satan would use to take you out with.
Right.
And your flesh as well. Well, he uses a medium of your flesh.
Yeah.
You know, that really got to me. That's why I'm very careful that daily I listen to the Word. I meditate the Word of God.
Yeah.
Are you following me? I do my best to stay up on CDs where I don't have the freedom just to go and jump at every every teaching that comes along or something I feel led to go to, but I try my best to get the CDs so I can listen to them for myself. Are you following me? Because I try to update my understanding. I try to stay in the flow with increasing knowledge. Do you know knowledge is going to increase in the Word of God in the final days? And when you think you've got it all, I got news for you. You're going to miss a whole lot.
Amen.
Some believers scare me that think they've heard it all. I'll tell you what. I want you to remember this. Do you know why we have weekly church meetings? Because the Holy Ghost wants to influence you that week. Why? Because you will meet something that you have need of, the influence of the Word of God for you to meet with. And if you're not there and faithful to hearing the Word of God, then what you, the Holy Spirit has cooked up for your week, you won't have that and it'll undo you. How many of you got what I'm saying? We need to follow true with our commitment to the Lord. Everything has to be first place in your life of Him. It has to be first place. I don't care what you're doing. If He isn't first place, in spite of what you're doing in the natural, it's irrelevant. It's zip. Now, I want to share something with you that I asked the Lord through several services bearing believers that the question whether they're even saved or not. I hate that. I like somebody to go home with an entrance. And I was sitting there and finally this last service, I said, Lord, it grieves me. What is it that causes? You can always come up with all kinds of reasoning and everything to the individual. But turn over to Galatians chapter 5. I want to share something with you that will help you to understand something that the Lord just came alive to me, even out of Mark 4, which we'll cover in just a minute. But if you will, in Galatians chapter 5, famous chapter, the walk of the Spirit, says the flesh desires against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Notice it didn't put the devil there. He goes down to verse 22 and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified. You know what that have crucified the flesh means? They do look at the cross and see the position that Jesus stood in for them. Yes. With its passions and desires. If we live. You know what this word if here? It's in the Greek. It's third class condition. Maybe you will. Maybe you won't. Yeah. If we live in spirit. The article is not there. It's character and kind. If we live in spirit, let us also walk in spirit. Let us also walk in spirit. Very interesting. Many of us do not understand there's a walk of the spirit, not flesh. Somebody said, well, how do I tell the difference when your flesh wants to kick back on the kingdom of God, that's a sure sign what's talking. See, I had to learn that in prayer. My flesh hates prayer closet. Why? He's going and talking to nobody. And he don't like it. And Christians have a hard time with committing to prayer because they're too busy. Your busyness is your body. You got to end his busyness and take up the position God wants you to. Now, it's very clear. Turn over to Second Peter. Turn there. Peter left us a legacy, one of his epistles. And I'm going to be very clear with you. Your faith is predicated on the epistles. Your faith is not predicated on the Old Testament. That is not your place of authority. You start making the Old Testament your place of authority, and you can lose direction for the kingdom of God where you belong. Are you following me? Now, the Old Testament has its examples and its types and its shadows and things like that. Mostly what we're not a part of. Now, we covered this last Wednesday night, I think it was. A certain brother had come to me about some preaching that was done on television about money. And come up with a little, real, little, neat little saying to actually make a vow to God financially. That doesn't belong to us, people. We don't pay for anything. It's been given to us in the kingdom. We're responsible for what we've inherited through Christ Jesus. You can't do anything to con God out of at 1 cent. He's already paid the price for everything that you need in the kingdom of God. All inheritance is yours. It belongs to you. All you have to do is learn how to tap into it. That is called New Testament epistles. That is a house that you're to live out of. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, in 2 Peter here, we hate this particular chapter 2 because it says some real powerful stuff that we don't like to hear. Now, I heard a minister, he wrote a book, I read the book, and I just threw it. I said he missed it altogether. He said, fear should never be a part of a believer's life. Well, when I went through the book, what he was saying was right, but when he got to the place that there is no such thing as a good fear, that is a religious con game. I gotta say, where is this guy coming from? Even before you can understand God, you gotta have a respect, a fear for what God is. There is a healthy fear. Are you following me? We need to maintain a healthy fear in our heart for God. We need to be concerned when we're not walking where we're supposed to be and get right back in line with it quickly. Why? Because I got news for you. Here's what the Lord shared with me about laying saints to go home and as a beggar. He said the reason they did it is they stepped out of that place of royalty and they entered back into the beggarly elements of this world and the curse came back on them. Right. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. But listen, if you violate the law, then you got the curse coming back on you.
Right.
And that should never be. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter gives a testimony. He says, I personally walked with Jesus. I personally heard His voice. I walked and talked with Him. Who, me and Jesus were tight. Paraphrasing it. He says, but I got news for you. He says, I have a more sure word of prophecy that you do well to pay attention to. And you know what he was talking about? He was talking about, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Wherein do you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, then the day star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that every prophecy. Now it says here of Scripture, knowing this first, that every prophecy of Scripture becomes not of its own solution. For not by the will of men prophecy was born at any time, but by men spoke from God being born by the Holy Spirit. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit's ability to bring lightness into a dark heart. Are you following me? And that's what he's referring to here. He's saying, even though we heard Him, we heard the voice from heaven and everything, I got news for you. There's something that speaks louder than what you hear with the physical air. He talks about light coming into your heart and changing it from darkness to light. Can anybody say amen? And then he goes into the very next chapter, the one that we as believers, you never hear much preaching on. But here it is, but where false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they make with fiend words. This word fiend, in the Greek, it's where we get the word plastic. Plastic. Plastos. It means to mold words for their own desire. To fashion words that are not even scripturally sound for you. Fashion them to make you a prisoner of them. Notice this. With merchandise, and now make merchandise of you to make gain, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered unto the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person of a preacher upon righteous, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with overthrowing, making them an example unto those that after should live godly. We are to live godly. We are to live godly. I hope this message will speak to your heart. And I hope that you will do something about your hearing. Because I've seen believers lose their life. I had to bury them because they thought what they thought was faith was not faith. God has designed you to win. God has designed you to override the circumstances of this life. God has called you to be a winner. And if you're not winning, it's because you are not under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You stepped out under His authority, and the curse of this world will come back on you. Don't fool with the kingdom of God. It says here, they having known the way, they've been bought by everything, and then they turn around and deny the Lord. Actually, this verse goes into a dog returning to its vomit. Have you ever seen that? I have. I can't think about eating for a week afterwards. It's a horrible thing. So this morning I'm encouraging you. Stay out of the walk of the flesh. Stay, purpose walk of the Spirit. It will cause your flesh to suffer. A walk of the Spirit will cause an inconvenience to your flesh. You will have to do things you normally wouldn't do. But if you're just tripping along in life and there's no suffering of your flesh, good luck. There should never be anything so important in this life where you'd put God in the background. There isn't. Maybe grace will work on me in the hunting area. Oh, we'll stop there. How many got something here this morning? We need, I'll tell you what, you know, I'm not asking anybody to get born again, but everybody stand up. This morning, I think what we need to do is really, really examine our hearts where we're at with God. You know something? I don't know where you're at with God. The Holy Ghost does, or He wouldn't have put this message on my heart. Some of you probably don't have a hard time loving God. But you have a hard time loving people. You need to do something about that. You need the same conviction for people as you do God. Because my Bible tells me that's the way God thinks. God has not called us to be barren, nor unfruitful, nor short-sighted, so that we would never stumble. Some Christians are so easily offended. An easily offended believer is one who is not growing spiritually. You should be as tough as nails. You should be tough. I asked a certain brother to come and give me a bid on my house. And he never called, never showed up. A month and a half later, he shows up at my door just yesterday. And he says, I see that you've already got the foundation going and everything. I said, yeah. He says, I've been meaning to try and get... Will you forgive me? And I said, hey. I says, I'm tough. I just took it. You didn't want to do it. That's all right. It's cool. He looked at me and says, that's what I love about you, Pastor. You don't take offense. That was an honor to me. To know that even if he didn't meet his obligation, he ain't going to put no offense in me. Are you following me? And so I said, I might take a look at you having put the roof on. Because we're 3.5 inches off. Anyway. Put that roof on, get down, and say, hey, partner, come here. Oh, what? You may be as tough as nails, but I'm ticked at you. Father, I thank you for your wonderful people and how you've encouraged me to always think good thoughts about everyone. Holy Spirit, you put it on my heart and you confirmed it by the prophecy. I hope I struck a chord in everybody's heart here that whatever area that they lack in giving you first place, they would cinch that up. Father, we have a dying world that needs us now more than ever. It shows up. It's showing up in the gas prices, Father. Shows up in the taxes. Shows up everywhere. This world's just got something against us, God. So cause us to be a light to shine in a dying world. Cause us to be those lights, Father. Cause us to shine so that when people look at us, they know that the glory and kingdom of God is in our hearts for them. Father, may we weep with those that weep, and may we have joy with those that have joy. And Father, I just thank you for the wonderful Christians that we have today. And Father, this morning, I'm not going to give an altar call on the basis of this, because it wouldn't be right. But today, let's take a moment of silence and just rethink our walk before God personally and ask God to forgive us and help strengthen us to move forward. And whatever conviction He puts on your heart, follow it, for you will not be disappointed. And then let it go at that. Walk out of here feeling all right and fresh with God, and no one can judge you again. So let's take a moment, just a moment, and commune with the Lord. Hallelujah. Just 1 minute. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 1 minute's up. I hope I didn't cut in on your conversation. But how many of you feel better? Hallelujah. I do. I love my Lord so much that every day is important to Him for me. I love Him so much. But I love mankind equally. And that's difficult, because God don't make no mistakes. You all are ugly. You do. But guess what? God's love at work in my heart accepts you anyway. Amen. Because I ain't the best in the world either. Amen. Father, as we now close this service, if there be anybody here that does not know you, Jesus, We want to reach out and bring them to salvation. We want to bring them to you. And Father, you can build your life into their heart and life. They can be changed and become a new creature in Christ Jesus. So at the end of this service, if you're here and you know you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, we want to give you the freedom to come forward and receive Him. We don't want to overlook anybody. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we want to administer that to you. Once we close the service, we're going to have altar members up here ready to meet with you and give you instruction. So with that said and done, you're dismissed. And those who want to respond to the altar, feel free to come up. The rest of you are dismissed.